Good afternoon and welcome to another exciting edition of The Thought Police. I'm Mike Graham. Who are you?
Morgan McSweeney.
Well, you'll be out of a job then.
Yeah. So, listen, I'm Morgan McSweeney for the time being.
Yeah, absolutely.
He's looking, in the ship.
Looking nervously over his shoulder. He's right in the ship because at the end of the day, he's banged to rights. This fucking email, right, which, by the way, if, for those of you who have been living under a fucking rock, Morgan McSweeney is Keir Starmer's chief of staff. He's the guy that apparently is the Labour project, right? Without Morgan McSweeney, there is no fucking government.
Yeah, well, they could do with him not being there fucking
years. This is the guy that for years we've been told is a genius, right?
He's supposed to be the
genius behind Labour winning the election, the genius behind, you know, hiring Sue Gray, the genius behind, you know, putting the cabinet together, the genius behind
Keir Starmer. The strategy.
All the great strategy. Well, it's all turned to fucking absolute shit, hasn't it?
Yeah, and the word is that the only reason that, as you pointed out on your show this morning, by the way, Mike, he's clearly finished because the Prime Minister today expressed his full confidence
in him.
He did,
absolutely.
Just like he expressed his full confidence in Angela Rayner and his full confidence in Peter Mandelson.
She lasted
so
2 days.
See you, Morgan. Yeah. Nice to have known you.
Well, it's like the final sort of dagger in the heart, isn't it? When the Prime Minister goes, don't worry, I've got full confidence in you. You go,
Used to be in football when managers in the ship when their team had lost six games in a row. There's no problem at all. The directors have given me their full confidence.
Yeah.
Always meant that the next day they get sacked.
Exactly right.
Well, Keir Starmer's...
But the details of this story...
Keir Starmer's full confidence is the kiss of death, isn't it?
Right. But how much longer can Keir Starmer make out he doesn't know what's going on? I mean, it may well be that he doesn't know what's fucking going on, but in this case... He's basically kind of being hidden from the sort of the story. What basically seems to have happened is that Morgan McSweeney sets up this company called
Labour Together.
Think tank. Yeah, which is a think tank entirely based around getting rid of Jeremy Corbyn, getting Keir Starmer Keir Starmer in place, and making sure that then Keir Starmer gets elected to Downing Street, right? So they need a load of money. So they collect a few quid,
750 grand.
Yeah, but they collect a bit here and there, 10,000 here, 12,000 there. Suddenly they've got 740,000 fucking quid. And they decide not to report that they've got it. And they conceal the fact that they've got it, which is contrary to electoral law, contrary to what the Electoral Commission told them to do. And there now seems to be an email which has been written to McSweeney by a lawyer inside of Labour saying, here's what you do. We know that we've concealed it, but basically just say that it was an administrative error.
Exactly right,
Which
exactly
makes him look guilty to begin with, doesn't it?
Yeah, so his contention is, I didn't know that these donations had to be declared.
Yeah.
No one told me. Well, now an email has emerged from a lawyer proving that somebody did tell him, and the lawyer said, well, you'd better pretend... Mm. That these donations that you're pretending you don't know about were the reason you didn't declare them was because of an administrative error. It was a mistake. In other words, even though it goes back to 2021, Morgan McSweeney stands accused of, and it doesn't look good for him, of lying through his teeth. This is the Electoral Commission.
And technically, possibly breaking the law.
Well, that's the point. This is the Electoral Commission.
Right.
And if you break their laws, you literally break the laws of the country.
Yeah.
So the Tories smell blood on this, and I think
they're right.
And I think they're right. And you made another point that they sent out... Labour Today, the day we're recording this, they sent out their attack dog, Pat McFadden.
Yeah, yeah. The bloke who switched his own house in order to gain some money for himself.
He's no saint himself.
He's no saint himself.
But he is their chosen story killer.
He is.
They send him out to sort of pour oil on troubled waters. So the fact that Pat McFadden was out batting for Morgan McSweeney today proves Morgan McSweeney's in a world of shit. And don't forget, Starmer's fucking pissed off to hell with him anyway.
Right.
For making him appoint Peter Mandelson.
Because Mandelson...
They had a fucking stand-up row.
Is his problem. Well, because, you know, you track it all the way back, and I've said this before, McSweeney worked for Mandelson when Mandelson was in government back in the fucking Blair days, right? And so that's how their kind of connection works. And so clearly, I reckon that I'm going to go full conspiracy theory here. Mm. I reckon that this whole Labour Together thing was cooked up by the Blairists, right?
Of course,
they appointed McSweeney because he's one of their creatures. They said to him, go and identify who's the best leader, because we can't have this fucking cunt Corbyn running around ruining everything because he's a fucking lunatic and he's a communist, and we fucking can't have that because we'll never get back in ever again. So they went, okay, so he chooses Starmer, because that's the way round I think it went. And then they all back him, and they all go, right, let's now get a load of fucking money together, and you just conceal it from the law. It's extraordinary what's been going on.
Yeah, so I think McSweeney might not be long for this world. And if you think about it, if his chief of staff goes, Keir Starmer, I mean, how much longer can he go on?
Well, people have told me that if this guy, McSweeney, leaves, Starmer won't have a fucking clue what he's doing. You know, hard to believe that he's had a clue what he's doing.
I was going to say, so what's new?
But every time we say how much worse can it gets fucking worse, doesn't it?
It fucking is. This fucking government is unbelievable. There's a story out today that ITV News are doing. The concept is not new, but the details are extraordinary. And that is this. So we're talking about the migrant crisis. Every fucking element of this migrant crisis is insane. And fucking incompetent on an epic scale.
It is massively.
So, of course, we've got one in, one out. No one can work out what the fuck the hell that means. Right. It's just...
It certainly isn't one in, one out. That's what it is.
Bafflingly useless and pointless. What is it for? Mm. Today, ITV News, day we were recording this, got this story. They're the first sort of media outlet to board a deportation plane.
Right.
On this plane... there are 47 Romanians being deported back to their home country. Right. These 47 people, every single one of them was escorted to the airport and on the plane as it flew by three members of staff, Home Office security.
Three per one person.
Except for some of them who were disruptive. Some of them had as many as a dozen staff looking after them. The disruptive ones... came in single vans. Mm. The others came in multiple occupation vans.
Right.
To get them to the airport took 100 staff. The plane is packed with three staff, sometimes more, per migrant. Right. Now, these migrants, they're prisoners. They are serious crooks. Right. No shit. They are murderers.
Gangsters.
They are rapists. Yeah. They are gun criminals, they are gangsters, they are big-time thieves, crooks. So we're deporting them. Fucking good job. Right. You're going back to your home country. In order to get them to go, on the plane, every single one of them is handed a cash card by the British government to cash when they get to Romania, 2,000 quid each.
Jesus
we're paying
Christ.
Rapists and murderers £2,000 in order to agree for us to deport them back to their home fucking country. Right. How about this? You're a fucking rapist. Fuck off.
Yeah.
And you don't get fucking any money at all. It's unbelievable.
It really is. But this is the trouble. You know, when they keep talking about this figure of 35,000 that they deported back in November, and let's face it, we're almost a whole year round back to where we fucking started, right? The huge bulk of those people were paid to go back. At the very least, most of them wanted to go back.
And loads
of them were paid like $3,500. There was only 2,200 out of that 35,000 who were actually boat migrants who had come over illegally, right? In the same way that this one in, one out bullshit. So far, counting after 10 days of the operation, four people have gone back.
Four people.
Right? And two or three who they've tried to get back haven't been able to go. So the whole fucking thing is a complete and utter mess. Absolutely ludicrous.
One in, one out doesn't make any fucking sense at all. First of all, even if it was working, numerically, it's nonsensical. You know, the idea of us solving the migrant crisis is we stop people coming into the country. Yeah. We're full up. We can't keep having them come in. So the idea of deporting one person and then importing
and then bringing
another
somebody else.
That's not a numerical solution.
Well, it's not. It's also not a reduction in the numbers. It's an increase in the numbers.
That's my point. Yeah.
However many come in who don't get detained, they all get to stay. The ones that you do throw out, they get replaced. So you've still gone up. And the point is that Starmer, as he calls it, he will be substituted by another individual who will have been pre-approved. It's almost like these people are now lining up in France because, again, we don't know how they're doing it. How the fuck are the French deciding that these people have got the right to come here? Because they say, oh, I've got a family member living in Leicester. Well, fucking hell, so's everybody called Mohammed. What's the fucking difference?
Yeah. Do you know what Shabana Mahmood said about this plane full of Romanian rapists and murderers 2000
years? She's hopeless, isn't she?
She's fucking useless. She said, I admit that out of context, this doesn't look good. Out of context, in context, it looks shit.
Yeah.
And you know, last Friday on my show, right, we got these videos of Shabana Mahmood 10 years ago.
I saw that in Greece,
in Lesbos, greeting all the illegal migrants coming in from the Middle East and Africa.
And that was a massive problem back then as well.
Yeah. And, so that's her attitude, to going, oh, we're going to find these people, forgive them food, find them homes and all this. That's her attitude to migrants.
Yeah.
The same as the rest of the cabinet, you know, these poor people, they're escaping war and torture, we've got to find them a home, we've got to embrace them. That's our new hardline Home Secretary. She's just another lefty, bleeding heart loser.
But aren't you just sick to death of the way that they try and spin this fucking shit, right? When you get this new, you know, hardline Home Secretary coming in, she means business, I'll stop at nothing to fucking get it right. Well, that's right, you have stopped at fucking nothing because there's nobody going out of the fucking country.
Yeah.
And the point is that, you
stopped
know...
They
always say, oh, you know, she's very talented. Remember what they used to say about Sue Gray, the most integrity of any woman they'd ever known. She's got her own fucking son, a seat as an MP. She's got him fucking helping out Lord Alley, getting free clothes, free fucking money, free shit from Lord Alley.
And then they gave her a peerage.
Yeah. And then they gave her a peerage. You talk about a woman with integrity. I'd like to see one that doesn't have any.
They also said she was talented.
Oh, Christ.
Oh, really?
Well, none of them are. This is the trouble. They're all incredibly fucking stupid.
Useless.
The fact that they think that Pat McFadden is the answer because he's so fucking, you know, hard that everybody in the media is frightened of him. You know, he couldn't fucking blow a fucking hole in a paper bag.
How the fuck old is Pat McFadden? Now, he looks like he's about 110.
But he's got the look of one of those people that's always looked that age. Yeah, you know? He's always looked about 65.
Defence Secretary John Healey also looks like he's 110.
Yeah, right.
Yeah, old, bald.
Yeah.
Ancient absolutely. Mariners.
Yeah, fucking absolutely. Old cunt. But because of these wankers in Labour are so sort of, you know, youthful, they look at people like that and think, oh, yeah, wise old man.
Wise, the voice of
experience. But again, Pat McFadden, another one who was in the Blair government, so he's got those ties. I think what we're seeing here is a government by Blairists, for Blairists, and Keir Starmer is literally just a figurehead. I don't think he's got any fucking power, I don't think he's got any idea what he's doing, and I don't think even he's going to last very long now.
I think you're right. I mean,
they're going to find somebody else, because he's fucked it all up for them.
I just don't see how long he can continue. I mean, the New Statesman, the Bible of the Labour Party, very tellingly, the new edition, fucking great picture of Andy Byrne, my vision.
Doesn't he look a cunt, though?
Because he is a cunt.
We were talking about this earlier, you know, how to look intelligent if you're really not very intelligent. This is the myth, and you'll know this from our days in newspapers. You know, don't look at the camera, look sort of over there. And he's got this sort of profile picture of him looking off into the distance as if it makes him look fucking intelligent. It doesn't make you look intelligent, mate. It just makes you look like a tosser.
Yeah, and all he is, he's Manchester's answer is Sadiq Khan, isn't he? You know,
exactly.
He's a lefty mayor.
Right.
Who's saying in the New Statesman, the trouble with this government is it needs to lurch left.
Yeah.
Needs to go further.
I was in
left.
Manchester last weekend, right? There was a fucking bus strike. Right, which is his fault. The traffic was fucking worse than the traffic in London. Everybody I met was pissing all over him, saying what a cunt he is.
Because,
you know, they portray him as the king of the north. Everybody loves Andy Burnham. Well, not in fucking Manchester they don't, actually.
I bet they don't. I'll tell you, though, you know...
He's also putting speed cameras up everywhere. You know, usual fucking
rule. They're gearing up to make him the next Prime Minister, and we will discover that if you don't like Keir Starmer, you wait until Burnham comes in. You know, few of the women fancy him. He's better looking than Sama, obviously. And he's got a kind of
a bit more manly.
He's got a chummy kind of aura. He's definitely does human better than
he's a better human.
He's not a bad human,
but he's still,
but he's dangerous.
He's still a kind of, maybe he's a bit more on the outward spectrum of robotic, you know, because if you didn't compare him to Starmer, you'd still think he's robotic. But Starmer's so fucking robotic that nobody, did you see that fucking, I played the clip earlier in the week, that fucking clip of Starmer talking to the police through a walkie-talkie. Incredibly, this is after Chequers, right, thanking them for doing their duty. But incredibly, coming through the walkie-talkie, he actually sounded less robotic than he does normally.
Sounded normal. Sounded like a normal human.
Well done,
well done.
And what is it with these wankers that they, you know, they're men of a certain age, but they want to wear t-shirts like Andy Burnham. He wears that jumper with a slight V-neck. You know, wear a fucking shirt, man. You're supposed to be a serious politician. You're not supposed to come as a member of fucking New Order.
And by the way, you know this bullshit with the recognition of Palestine?
Yeah.
Absolutely disgusting, crazy thing to do just to try and retain the Muslim vote.
The Muslim vote, I know, pathetic.
Absolutely horrible. And on the day he did that, we all had various distraught members of the Jewish community on our shows who just can't believe the extent of his betrayal.
I know.
And 100% it is rewarding terrorism, it's rewarding Hamas for the atrocity on October the 7th. It is disgusting. And what does he fucking do on the day he said, it's the right thing to do, you fucking liar.
Bollocks,
we know why you're doing it. On that day, he posts on Twitter, Happy Rosh Hashanah, Jewish New
Rosh Hashanah,
Year.
Shocking.
Rosh Hashanah, you know, I mean, for fuck's sake. They were furious.
They were. But I mean,
does he think posting that Happy New Year to the Jews, they'll go, oh, he's not a bad guy after all. What a cunt.
I think he must be deluded to the point where he may, I mean, you know, there are Jewish people who are not on the side of Benjamin Netanyahu. Maybe that's who he's been listening to. Maybe his wife's one of those. But, you know, just the other day,
there aren't any Jewish people on the side of recognising Palestine.
They're fucking, no, there aren't. But, I mean, there are certainly people who are on the side of going easy on them and all the rest of it. But, you know, he said, again, barefaced to fucking Donald Trump because he was shit scared of him, oh, you know, we've got extended family in Israel. Well, that's the first time we've ever heard that from him. And how can he then turn around and recognise a fucking place where Hamas is running the fucking government? Absolutely outrageous. And he didn't go to America, to the United Nations, purely and simply because he was frightened of getting spanked by fucking Donald Trump.
Which he did anyway.
Because he knew that Trump would call him a cunt.
Which he did anyway.
For recognising Palestine. I mean, there's so many things that are wrong with the way that he fucking runs the country. I can't even begin to tell you.
And Donald Trump, you know, once again, it falls on to the American president. It's either the vice president of America or the president of America. These are the only people speaking up for this country.
Yeah.
And his speech at the United Nations, absolutely fucking right. Of course it's right, you know, that you are being destroyed from within by asylum seekers who have repaid your kindness with crime. Exactly fucking right.
Have.
And you're also destroying yourself with these lunatic green energy policies.
Suicide energy
policy. He's just fucking right. He's right. And it's not, I mean, that's what's so disappointing about the Tories, Badenoch. She just doesn't seem to be able to express this with enough power and strength.
No.
And frankly, you know, I do think, you know, I like Nigel Farage, I like Reform, but they don't seem to be able to express what we're talking about as well as Donald Trump.
No.
It's strange, isn't it? Donald Trump seems to be able to sum up the malaise, the tragedy, the crisis of this country better than any politician.
I wonder, though, if that's because he's actually in power as well, you know, because if he wasn't in power,
he doesn't give a shit.
He doesn't. One, he doesn't give a shit because he's in power. Two, he doesn't give a shit because he's not having to face re-election, so he doesn't have to worry about it. And he's a far more accomplished politician now than he was, say, the first time around. Because I think the first time around, he was a bit less
less confident.
Yeah, but he's now more appealing because he is so confident and he is so sure. And I think with Nigel Farage, he has to be a bit careful because we live in a very weird country, which is riddled with fucking, you know, left-wing ideology. And I think sometimes he has to say to himself, I'm going to be a bit careful.
You have to be careful.
I mean, look at how he went from, on the journey, if you like, which is a terrible word, I know, but when he started out talking about migration and deportation, he said quite blankly he was not going to look for mass deportation. Him and Rupert Lowe fell out about it.
Rupert Lowe on the other night. Yeah. So what do you think about this?
Well, Rupert Lowe hates it, doesn't he?
Yeah, but Rupert Lowe actually is quite sort of magnanimous about it. He said, well, I'm glad he came around to the right way of
thinking. Yeah, well, that's fair enough. Yeah. But, you know, the fact is that they started out on separate fucking planets on that one. And, you know, Farage's kind of logic was, you know, I don't think we're ready for mass deportations. You can't do it. Now he's talking about doing it.
I'll tell you why, though. I'll tell you why is that Farage has got a very good political antenna and he has detected, quite rightly, the mood of this country.
Yeah.
He's watched those demonstrations at, you know, Bell Hotel and all the asylum seeker hotels across the summer. And in this country, in Britain, the rising tide of fury about this migrant crisis is getting, you know, worse and worse by the day.
Right.
And I think Farage, you're quite right, sort of concluded, if I now talk about mass deportations, it's not going to alienate people. In fact, people will go, right on, do it.
And that is the direction of travel, because everybody else, I mean, look at where fucking Starmer is now on migration, where even just 2 years ago, before he was Prime Minister, they would shit themselves if they said to anybody in the Labour government, you know, oh, we want to deport some people, we want to stop the boats. They would never have done that.
That ocean-going twat, Sir Ed Davey, at the Lib Dem conference in Bournemouth, his big barnstorming speech at the end of the conference was, if we're not there with Nigel, government of Nigel reform, but Nigel Farage's reform would turn Britain into Donald Trump's America. Works for me.
Yeah.
Works for me.
I know. It's complete. 24.
Do you know how many times? Do you know how many times he mentioned?
It was 30, wasn't it?
33. 33 times, Nigel Farage.
Yeah. But this is the other problem they've all got. You know, they all want to slag off Nigel Farage. I remember the Tories on about two months ago, and I said, what are you attacking Farage for? He's not in fucking government. You should start attacking fucking Labour government, you fucking plonker. And so that's now what they do. And actually, fucking funnily enough, they go back to old Morgan McSweeney's problem. If the Tories chase him out of Downing Street, I think that will give them a significant boost, maybe enough of a boost, to actually start believing that they might have a fucking chance again. Because if they can get McSweeney out, and they've done most of the running on this, you know, Kevin Hollingrake, the chairman, has been reporting to the cops. He's the one that's been writing letters.
Yeah.
You know, he's the one that's been sort of collecting the information and driving it. If they win and they get a massive fucking scalp like him, I think it might actually be quite good for them. As much as, you know, I know that people haven't got any fucking time for them, and I don't frankly have much time for them either, but I mean, I'm all for fucking competition. I quite like the idea that we as the fucking electorate should be the people that win.
Yeah.
You know, well, whoever does whatever they do.
They're a weird mixture. You know, Kemi Badenoch on a day can be pretty good.
Yeah.
But
was good on Mandelson, wasn't she?
She
on
was
the
great at PMQs on Mandelson. But mainly she seems to be scared to disturb the universe. You know, she just never says anything that sounds strong.
It's all going to be something that's coming in the future, isn't it? They still haven't put out their fucking migration policy, and they're like, oh, just wait and see. We're going to be unveiling it soon. Well, don't wait too fucking long, darling, because I'm afraid the boat will have sailed. Yeah. The ship will have sailed.
I think reform have got the momentum here. And I do think, you know, I don't think Danny Kruger was too far off the mark when he said the Conservatives are over. Put it this way, they will be over unless they ditch Kemi and they get someone better in charge.
Yeah.
It's nothing against her. I quite like her general direction of travel. Yeah. She says some good things. I think I quite like her outlook. But she's not up to this job.
Well, I just watched Boris Johnson being interviewed downstairs, and it ain't him. He ain't fucking coming back anytime soon. I mean, I think you get always the sense with Boris that he'll do whatever he thinks is expedient and is likely to make him a few quid. But, you know, there are plenty of Conservative supporters of his who don't understand that people don't want him back. You'll talk to people every night, as I do, who are not fucking interested in Boris Johnson anymore. His time has come and his time has gone.
Do you know what's interesting? You will, of course, remember it. You know, after doing our shows, you know, we have these switchboards full of phone calls and messages. After Boris Johnson got the chop, you know, our audience was furious. Yeah. Bring him back. Yeah. What have you done? Da, yeah. da, da. Now, what the Tories did by getting rid of Boris Johnson, defenestrating him, was this.
Mm.
They got rid of a very, very popular guy. There is no better politician at performing in public. Yeah. He is the best public performer in all of Westminster. Not that he's particularly there anymore, but right. you know what I mean.
Yeah.
All of our audience, what have you done? Bring him back, bring him back, bring him back. Now, since then, our audience have come to realise, you know, hang on a second, this guy... He's more net zero crazy than Ed Miliband. He's obsessed
and with fucking immigration crazy.
And his migration policies were a disaster.
Yeah.
The fucker let 3.8 million people in after he came into power, and they're all about to get full benefits unless we're fucking careful. Mm. He opened our borders.
Yeah.
He let them pour in. Lowered the drawbridge, and across came millions and millions of people legally.
Mm.
Never gave a fuck. Never gave a fuck about the illegal migrant crisis. He's no Tory. He's a Lib Dem. Mm.
You know? And I think that the Tories who want to keep supporting the idea of him coming back are just sort of hanging on to this myth that this guy, who maybe once was a fucking coming character and would have been great if it hadn't been for COVID, we can make that speculation all we like. But I think his time has come and gone. I just don't think he's got anything to fucking offer.
And you know, to be honest...
It doesn't look great either.
To be honest with you, I you know, he fucked up COVID.
He did.
He should have had some backbone. He should have gone with his instinct, which was not to lock us down.
Yeah.
Except that
instead of the moment he got ill, that kind of was his instinct. Then he got ill and he never really recovered,
did
he?
That's a bit of an emotional response, isn't it?
It is.
You know, I got ill, therefore, blimey, I realise how bad this is. Well, he nearly died... Few people nearly died, but not all that many people nearly died, and a very, very few people.
But
actually,
I imagine that if
he
you
fucked up COVID.
No, I think no question. But I think if you or I had perhaps had the experience that he had, you might have felt the same way.
If you sat in that
fucking, you know, St Thomas's Hospital that night, watching the fucking monitor, thinking, I'm not sure if I'm going to fucking make this.
I get that, and I think you're right. But I think that the real kind of damaging experience for him. The thing that changed him was, even though his instinct was herd immunity, let it ride, don't lock society down, don't kill the economy. People stared him in his face and said, if you go ahead with this, millions and millions of people will die.
Yeah.
You will be responsible for millions and millions of deaths. It wasn't true, but you can imagine being Prime Minister thinking... Fucking hell. Suppose I end up being responsible.
Exactly. And they can't make that call.
I understand it, but it does not detract from the fact that with those extenuating circumstances taken on board, he still made all the wrong decisions.
He did make all the wrong decisions. And also, as time went on, when he could have actually shown a bit more fucking, lucidity, and he could have said, actually, I don't think we need to lock down the second time and the third time. I think that was when he could have got it fucking right.
Yeah, yeah.
Because you can understand after he was sick, you know, okay, fucking, you know, he was shitting himself. But by the time we realised that an awful lot of people weren't actually being fucking very badly hurt, he should have changed tack.
Yeah, no,
even that
it.
Fucking ghoul Whitty fucking leaning over
and,
you.
And Valance.
Valance is now still back in fucking government,
Isn't Whitty still chief medical officer or something?
Yeah.
Fuck's sake.
Bloody
those old. Those two.
I know. Fucking cunts. Anyway, we should probably tell everybody, I'm not sure if we have properly, that we're doing a live podcast recording.
Oh, yeah.
At the Battle of Ideas, which is very exciting. October the 19th, right?
Yeah.
We'll put it out on Twitter. And we have put it out on Twitter. You can get a discounted ticket if you use our special code. I'll tell you what I forgot about, though, because remember we did it a couple of years ago?
Yeah, we did, yeah.
And they came on to me and said, you don't have any guests. And I sort of had, in my head, I was thinking... Well, we're probably doing about half an hour, so no, I'm going to be fine. Anyway, it turns out it's an hour and a half. And I've told them we don't want any guests, so I hope you're going to be full of fucking ideas.
We'll be
fine. But you'll be able to ask questions, because we might get the audience involved.
Fucking better for an hour and a half.
Do you know what I mean? But no, it'd be good because we haven't done one for a while.
Yeah, we'll put it out on Twitter with all the details. Good idea.
And they will record it for us as well, so it will go out in some way, shape or form. But if you want to come, it's about, I think, 3 or 4 o'clock in the afternoon on Sunday,
yeah.
The 18th of October in London. And actually, the Battle of Ideas is quite a cool
thing. Yeah, I did it once before. It's good. You and I did it, didn't
we? Did it 2 years ago.
And I did another panel.
Did you do another one?
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
It's a good event.
There's a lot of good people that go. But I mean, if you change your mind, if you think maybe we should have a couple of other guests, like Peter Blexley's going to be there, we have to let them know there's anything.
All right.
But let's just think about it. If you ever think about it.
By the way, they got in touch, you probably saw today, they got in touch and said, you fancy switching?
I know.
Saturday, and I said, you're fucking joking.
Well, I said to them, I'm
it's
pretty
full
sure.
Full of Arsenal.
No, I said to them, well, it's all right for me. I said, but Kevin might have a football match.
Well, it's full of Arsenal, you know, so. Yeah. Actually, I should go to the Battle of Ideas because we'll book our ass
well,
kicked.
Although Arsenal are not exactly playing brilliant football, are they?
Put it this way, if I was to be completely hard-hearted and cynical about this, I'm not sure I'd put my money on Fulham.
How are they
doing?
By the way,
we played last Saturday, just by way of a finishing anecdote.
Yeah.
It fucking pisses me off. It's the new thing in football. 8 o'clock kickoff Saturday fucking
oh,
night.
To that.
You know, I do have a bit of a social life that got killed. Anyway, so we're playing.
It's too late. That means you don't even get anywhere near home till about 11:30 or
yeah,
something.
Yeah, no, I had a couple of drinks with the lads afterwards. It got home at midnight. Yeah. So anyway, we hate Brentford. We fucking hate Brentford. They sing that the whole.
Do you hate Brentford more than Chelsea?
Yeah.
Really. And more than
equidistant.
QPR.
We hate Brentford probably more because we got more chance of beating Brentford.
Right.
So at the Fulham fans' big chant when we play Brentford is, "You're just a bus stop in Hounslow." anyway,
that's quite good.
So this Saturday, so they went 1-0 up. And I thought, here we fucking go.
Yeah.
And then I've got to say, there's a whole half to go. We ended up beating them 3-1. We thrashed them.
Excellent.
Should have been 4-1. We had a goal disallowed. And so they extemporised. They built on the song. And the song went like this. Poor old fucking Brentford. Oh, what can it mean to be a bus stop in Hounslow and a shit football team?
I love it when they do this sort of on the hoof songs.
Yeah.
They just make them up.
You know what I love about football and I love about the songs and the fans? It's the last place in Britain where it's a completely woke-free zone.
Yeah. It's funny, actually, because you wonder whether these wanky police would... Because the police are often in fucking attendance, aren't they? That they might be given some instruction. I bet you it's because they can't actually arrest 10,000 people at the same time.
Well,
they had this problem in Scotland, right? I think it was when Alex Salmond was First Minister, and they decided to try and outlaw sectarian songs,
sectarian flags. The old film team.
Yeah, but it wasn't just because the hymns do it as well, Hearts do it as well. You know, all up to your knees in Fenian blood and all this kind of shit, right? But then they worked out, well, hang on a minute, if fucking 25,000 people are singing up to your knees in Fenian blood, you can't arrest 25,000 people and pull them out of a fucking football terrace.
Yeah,
how's
like,
that going to work?
Don't do this. It's like the Spurs fans, all the Jewish fans,
yeah.
They used to sing about themselves.
Yeah, right.
And when we used to, I don't condone this, by the way, but when Thomas Frank was the manager of Brentford, well, the Fulham fans. By the way, I'm not a chanter. I'm not in the gang at chanting. Although I do join in a bit. Mm. But they used to sing about Thomas Frank. There's no validity to this, but this is what they used to sing. The Fulham boys are on a bender. Thomas Frank's a sex offender.
They used to sing that shit about Arsene Wenger, didn't they?
Wenger.
Just because it rhymes.
Yeah, I mean, you know, that's outrageous.
Yeah.
But in this woke world, there's something fucking brilliant
yeah.
about it.
No, I know. But I'm just surprised that some wise-ass fucking, you know, police commander... hasn't gone. We're not having that kind of behaviour.
Yeah,
because well, surely some people might be caused distress.
Some people cause distress at a football match. Yeah, right.
Yeah, mostly by the football.
Yeah,
you know. But anyway, so there's nothing else really to mention, is there?
What is it again? The Battle of Ideas.
It's October the 18th, Sunday afternoon, around about 3-ish.
Yeah, maybe we should think about a couple of guests.
Maybe we'll think about a couple of guests. All right. Okay, we'll sort that out. Anyway, meantime, keep your eyes peeled for the end of Morgan McSweeney.
Yep.
Closely followed by
the end of fucking Keir Starmer.
We shall fucking drink to that.
And all go fuck yourselves.
Yeah, fuck it, bollocks.